the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to
Christ. Brothers and sisters, we gather here today on this first Sunday of the Great and Holy Fast to celebrate the triumph of Orthodoxy, the victory of our faith. The Church gives us this to encourage us in our Lenten pilgrimage to Pascha, in our Christian walk. And the Church reminds us today of the importance of true doctrine, true teaching, the truth, and also the importance of holy tradition, by which we receive this truth and are incorporated into it. These two words, doctrine and tradition, are probably not pretty popular today. Words always have certain connotations to them. People feel positively or negatively about different types of words. If you were to ask the average person today what they feel about doctrine or tradition, probably wouldn't be something good. These words and these concepts are distasteful to our contemporary relativistic society. They turn the stomach. Ask them about orthodoxy, and you might be in a fight. I want to share something from Orthodoxy and Heterodoxy by Father Andrew Stephen Damick, an excellent work. He says, in most areas of life, we are all concerned with truth. A cashier has to make sure he knows how much change he's giving. A nurse has to apply just the right amount of medication to the patient. A mathematician checks and rechecks his proofs. A jury listens closely to all of the facts to sort out the truth in a trial. A history teacher has to get the names and the dates right. A scientist publishes work for peer review to make sure that everyone gets the same results. In all of these cases and more, what's important is not opinion. Rather, it is truth. Yet it seems that when it comes to questions of religion and spirituality and the accompanying moral questions, we as a culture suddenly become relativists. Instead of asking who God really is, we say, who is God to you? Very interesting. In every facet of life, except perhaps for religion and spirituality, we care about truth. And of course, as Christians, truth is extremely important to us. We read in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, linking salvation and truth. St. John writes in his Gospel, and now this is eternal life, salvation, eternal life, that they may know you, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Again, a link between knowledge and salvation and eternal life. Truth is of the utmost importance. We know that it's Christ who came to bring this knowledge of God to us. And who is God but life itself? And this knowledge is not just an academic knowledge, a kind of book knowledge that God is somewhere up there. No, that knowledge is meant to be communion. We're meant to know God by experience, by having God live within us and us in God. And this is what Christ came to bring to this ignorant and dying world: knowledge and communion with life itself. And this is what he continues to extend to the world in the Church. From generation to generation, Christ is still doing this same work. Remember, the Church is the body of Christ. He is the head. We are his body. And he's still active in the world, sharing this same knowledge, this same salvation, the same union with God. And yet, the objection today is something like this. But I don't need the Church to know God. Don't you even say yourself, isn't God everywhere present, filling all things? I can know him without the church. And I certainly don't need anybody from the past, from the dark ages, telling me about who God is. I certainly don't need what you call holy tradition. All that does is hold me back in my quest for truth and life. And this is a very serious objection. And though maybe not everybody will vocalize it, it is a prevailing idea in society today. We don't need the past anymore. We don't need tradition. We ask ourselves, though, what can be accomplished without tradition by ourselves? We think about the dreams, the goals, the aspirations of the human being. Let's start with something just ordinary. Let's say you want to graduate college. Can you do that without tradition? Can you do it all by yourself? Well, what is a college? What is a university? But it's a collection of all of the human knowledge and understanding of the past that has been passed down from generation to generation. And that's actually what tradition is, the passing down from generation to generation. No, you can't graduate college without tradition. Let's set our heights even higher. What's one of the greatest accomplishments of mankind? Going to the moon, right? Or outer space. Can you make it to outer space without tradition? If you walk out the doors of the church today and you say, I'm going to, on my own, make it to the moon, what are your chances? Very little. We need science, physics, universities, all this accumulation of learning, all of this tradition that is there for us. Okay, let's lower the standard a little bit. College is kind of middle of the road. Going to the moon is the high road. Let's say, just go into Ocean City. Can you make it to Ocean City yourself? Yeah, just hop in my car. Oh, wait, did I build that car? I just followed the road. Did I pave that road? Just look at the sign. I didn't set up the signs. Chances are we probably wouldn't make it to Ocean City if we were simply all out on our own. Or if we made it, it would take us a pretty long time. When we think about these goals and the aspirations that mankind has, we as individuals have, we should come to realize that we're not going to make it there by ourselves. And most likely we'll die trying. When we think about Christian tradition and its goals and its aspirations, which is life eternal, to come to the knowledge of the true God and to abide in Him. Are we going to make it there by ourselves? Most likely we won't. And most likely we'll die trying. But in our pride and in our ignorance, we seek to demean, dismantle, and destroy our Christian heritage. This tradition that is being given to us. Day by day, society is ripping apart Christian civilization. Tradition. Destroying it. And we're like someone who doesn't know how to read and is burning down a library or destroying books. Or someone who doesn't know the true God. And we're destroying the only way to get there, the way that Christ has given us, in our pride and in our ignorance. But today we celebrate the triumph and the victory of Orthodoxy. What is Orthodoxy all about? What does it mean? It's a composite of two Greek words, ortho and doxa. It means the right teaching, and true worship. Someone once said it was better to say it's straight teaching or straight talk and the straight way. Wasn't Christianity in the Acts of the Apostles called the way? It was. The straight and narrow path. That's what Orthodoxy is. Orthodoxy preserves the fullness of grace and truth brought by Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, without change, either by addition or subtraction, the same that the prophets foresaw, the apostles received, the fathers codified, the martyrs died for, the confessors did not deny, and the missionaries brought to the ends of the earth. Isn't this what orthodoxy is? St. Vincent of Lorenz, from the 5th century, says this of the true faith. He says, it's that which has been believed always, everywhere, and by all. He also says, even in the 5th century, we think this problem of relativism is just a new problem. It was there in the 5th century. He says, I cannot sufficiently be astonished that such is the insanity of some men, such the impiety of their blinded understanding, such, finally, their lust after error, that they will not be content with the rule of faith delivered once and for all from antiquity, but must daily seek after something new, and even newer still, and are always longing to add something or to change it, or to subtract from it. Even in the 5th century, there was this desire to change what Christ had given to us. And yet orthodoxy has survived to this day and age. The same fullness of grace and truth. How has it been preserved? How has orthodoxy made it? Certainly by the power and the wisdom of God. But remember that the church is a divine and human institution, a divine and human organism, that it's the cooperation of men with God. Christ the head, we his body. How is it that the church has remained true to the Lord in orthodoxy? I submit to you, it's by clinging to holy tradition. By clinging to it. By holding on to it as if it's life itself. Because actually, it is life itself. What is holy tradition? What was handed on from the apostles? But the Holy Spirit. They baptized. They laid their hands. They communed Christians. And they gave them the Holy Spirit that Christ had given to them. And generation after generation, that same Holy Spirit was passed down. God living within man. The fullness of grace that Christ came to bring. But St. John also said that Christ brings not just the fullness of grace, but the fullness of truth. They clung to the apostolic doctrine. They didn't change it. They accepted it. And they accepted it in the face of many challenges. I'm going to read to you a list of heresies that have threatened the truth of Christ. Docetism, Gnosticism, Montanism, Manichaeanism, Sabellianism, Novatianism, Donatism, Arianism. All, by the way, in the first 300 years. Apollinarianism, Pneumatomachanism, Pelagianism, Nestorianism, Monophysitism, Origenism, Monothelitism, Monoergenism, Iconoclasm, Roman Catholicism, Lutheranism, Calvinism, Episcopalianism, and 30,000 other Protestant variations of Christianity. You know what they all have in common? They're not in communion with the fullness of grace, the sacraments of the church. They don't have a share in it. You know what else they all have in common? They don't have the fullness of truth either. They all have doctrines that are different from what the apostles handed down. All of these heterodox are outside of the communion of the church, and they don't share in the fullness of grace and truth that Christ came to give to us. And why is that? Every heresy originates in pride and in arrogance. The idea that somehow we can make it to heaven by ourselves, that we can know the true God by ourselves. We can't make it to the moon. We can't make it out of college. We can't make it to Ocean City by ourselves. And we think we're going to solve all the big problems of the universe, that we're going to be reconciled with God by ourselves, that we're going to figure it out. Because what's really important is, who is God to me? Not who God truly is. Well, some may say, well, hasn't the church, hasn't orthodoxy changed? Did the apostles have everything that we have now? No, they didn't. They didn't. What did they have? The fullness of grace and truth. And over the centuries, that way of the apostles, that rugged, earthen path, perhaps difficult for the world to see at that time, became well-trodden. Many footprints went down that road, and they embellished it. They laid down stones. They put up guides along the side, signposts. They wrote down the writings into a book, and they called it the New Testament in the 4th century. They gold-plated it. There are pictures, they're handwritten, hand-painted pictures of Christ or the Mother of God. They then gold-leafed. There are wooden crosses and chalices they made out of silver or precious metals. Why? So that we might realize that that straight and narrow path leads somewhere special. It leads to the kingdom of God. Everything that we have now is what they handed to us. The only difference is it shines more brightly. We see it more clearly, or at least we should see it more clearly. Brothers and sisters, this Sunday is given to us as the first of our Lenten pilgrimage. Why? So that we might be encouraged, so we might be strengthened, to redouble our efforts, to abide within this holy tradition, to pass it along to our children, to the next generation, to know where it leads, to the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, to heaven, to eternal life, to all of our goals, dreams, and aspirations, to everything that God has for us. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.